Mrs. Bhakti Ratnakara. The Beatles had a song, Hey Jude. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that in the Christian Bible there's a Saint Jude. And Saint Jude is a patron saint of the helpless. So I used to pray all the time to him. Right before I met the Buddha. Now we have Lord Nityananda, the original Lord of the helpless. And only we read yesterday that only when we feel ourselves really helpless, then we can really chant. If we think I am something wonderful, I'm qualified, I'm anything worthwhile, then we can't really beg Krishna to give us shelter. We say, Krishna, you know, you should be glad to have me around. Be lucky. In a humble state of mind, so that when one feels himself bereft, you know, of any kind of anything, possessions, not only gross material possessions, but our things that we have. We have our so-called intelligence, we have our so-called beauty, we have our so-called talents, and those things generally, when we have those, we become very proud or we want to, you know, be recognized. But a devotee in a humble state of mind can really take shelter of Krishna and Lord Nityananda, and he's special for that, special for our movement. Lord Nityananda is, we have to get to shelter of Lord Nityananda to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Okay, Lord of the helpless, the last resort. No place else to go, and then you go to Lord Nityananda and he'll immediately help you. I will begin a new narration. Before long, the grand festival of the Kethari was glorified throughout the universe. Whoever attended the festival returned to his own home. The people of Kethari felt fortunate because they had had the association of the great Mahantas. Daily they enjoyed the beauty of the deities of Gauranga, Balabhakanta, and the others, and regularly brought offering for their worship. Narottam carefully explained the glory of the courtyard of the Gauranga Mandir to everyone who visited the place regularly. The courtyard was always busy because of the hundreds of pilgrims who passed through there daily. Narottam passed his time composing songs, singing, dancing, and accompanying his own songs with various musical instruments. Shri Radha and Krishna hear the kirtan of Narottam. Narottam remained always absorbed in the Sankirtan with his favored associates Ramachandra, Gokula, and others. On the day of the full moon, Narottam began the kirtan by playing various musical instruments and then broke into song, glorifying the Ras Lila of Radha and Krishna. Even the demigods were enchanted by this beautiful kirtan. Suddenly the entire environment became effulgent, like a cloud struck by lightning. A sweet scent gently filled the air, and the sound of Nipura, that's ankle bells, could be heard. When the sound of these Nipura faded away, Narottam, Ramachandra, Devidas, Gokula, and others fell on the ground unconscious. They rose up crying out of disappointment and grief, and then fainted again on the ground. They all realized that Shri Radha Krishna had appeared there simply to hear the sweet kirtan. By the wish of Krishna, they gradually controlled their emotions. Shri Janava travels to Vrindavan. As an ignorant person, I am unable to perfectly describe the devotional qualities of Shri Janava Devi, yet I will describe what I have heard from others. While traveling to Vrindavan, Shri Janava passed through the large village and wanted to stop there for some time. But she heard that the village was the residence of many heretics who continually harassed the Vaishnavas. That evening, the Bhagwats of the village came forward to meet Shri Ishwari and bowed at her feet, while the heretics gathered around, criticizing that the Vaishnavas had no knowledge, and therefore they bowed to a human being instead of worshipping demigods. They're thinking that Janava Mata is a human being. One villager thought that perhaps the Vaishnava was bound to her, thinking she was a personification of goddess Chandi, Durga. What did these Vaishnavas know of the grace of Sri Chandi? Said another one, the simple villagers felt they might have offended Sri Chandi by comparing her to Sri Ishwari, so they went immediately to the temple of Sri Chandi and prayed that she might kill the foolish Vaishnavas. Then they all returned to their houses and went to sleep. So it's not just here in Israel that we get trouble from envious people. Krishna has trouble. Ramachandra has trouble. Goddess Chandi, however, became angry, not with the Vaishnavas, but with the foolish heretics, and her eyes grew red, and while her lips quivered in anger, carrying a sharp falchion, she appeared in a dream of each of these villagers and addressed them angrily. You are wicked, heretical, and proud, and you have deliberately insulted the Parama Bhagwats, said the goddess. She raised her falchion, must be a spear, to kill each heretic, simultaneously chastising him for considering Ishvari an ordinary human woman. Sri Ishvari was the wife of Nityananda, who was himself the incarnation of Balaram and was to be worshipped by the whole universe and even by Sri Chandi herself. Janava Ishvari was competent to carry the living entities over their miseries and fears of this world. She was the personification of love and kindness and had no interest but showing mercy on the living entities. She warned them that if they did not try to get the mercy of Sri Janava Ishvari, then her mighty falchion would send them to the eternal damnation. Then in a roaring fury, Goddess Chandi spoke to the village people and then disappeared. They awoke at once from their sleep and they shivered in fear as they realized their dangerous situation. When morning arrived, they went straight to meet the Mahantas, carrying deep remorse within their hearts, soaked by their own tears of self-condemnation. The villagers fell at the feet of the Mahantas and prayed for forgiveness. They wanted the mercy of the Mahantas, knowing that if the Mahantas forgave them, surely Sri Ishvari would also forgive them. They admitted their guilt and prayed for an opportunity to take shelter at her feet. Observing her humble and repentant mood, the Mahanta Prabhus forgave them, and Sri Ishvari also accepted them. She remained 2 or 4 days in that village after the blessings of the heretics and then resumed her journey. The heretics had been transformed into devotees. A similar incident occurred when she decided to stay in another village. She was camped on the bank of the river near the village when she was sighted by 2 indomitable bandits who felt that she must be carrying various valuable jewels and other possessions. Deciding to rob her, they prepared many weapons and sent one of their men to find out everything about their camp. The spy reported that after finishing Namakirtan, she and her followers had all fallen asleep. During the second half of the night, the leader of the gang of bandits took many men and weapons and ran towards the camp. Somehow, the short distance he had to cover could not be crossed as it continually grew further and further to the camp where they were sleeping. Because of their wicked desires, they could not understand what was happening. The distance to the camp became so far that they spent the whole night running, and when dawn was breaking, they became frightened. The leader of the gang was quite confused, as they had run the entire night, but were in their original place in the morning. He thought they had reached the spot and seen the woman, but it was only an imaginary. They had run the entire night without going anywhere. Something like when that one demon, Kali Yavana, he was chasing Krishna. And Krishna was just walking very casually, and this demon was running as fast as he could, but he could never catch it. And Mother Yasoda couldn't catch a little baby Krishna until he stopped. He was just 2 years old or something. They took off their bandits' clothing and hurriedly approached Sri Ishwari. Out of fear, they decided that they would give up dacoitry from the day, and he advised the men to do the same. He knew that he had committed sinful activities throughout his life, and he would have to suffer substantial punishment in hell. He advised his men to approach that Vaishnava woman and request her mercy. They took off their bandit's dress and humbly approached Sri Ishwari. As they came before the Mahants, their minds became completely transformed. They prostrated themselves at her feet and cried for mercy. Sri Ishwari immediately forgave them and blessed them, and the news of her mercy spread towards the dacoits. Her mercy towards the dacoits spread far and wide. There was a similar with Lord Nityananda. The thieves, they wanted to rob him, and the first night they fell asleep and forgot to go. And then they said, well, we didn't worship Durga that day. So the next day they worshiped Durga to bless their... And they went, but there were huge guards that scared them away, giants. So they waited a little bit longer. They thought some other person is visiting with the guards. And they worshipped Durga, and in the night they were sneaking. And then all of a sudden a huge storm came, and they all became blind. And there was terrible rain, and they were all slipping and sliding in the mud and falling in the ditch with thorn bushes, and all kinds of insects were biting them all night. And finally in the morning the sun came up, and then they could see again. So they went home, and the head of the thief, who was from a Brahmin family, he was wondering what happened. But then the Durga came in the dream and told him, you fool, this is the Supreme Lord, you're making great offense. And then they all went and surrendered to Lord Nityananda, and he gave his mercy, and they became devotees. Janapa visited Mathura, temples of Varaha and Keshav Dev, and left the next morning for Vrindavan. The Vaishnavas of Mathura accompanied Sri Janapa. The Vaishnavas of Mathura accompanied Sri Janapa on her journey to Vrindavan. While the Goswamis of Vrindavan came forward to meet her, it was near the holy place of Apkara. Not here. That's what I said. It was near the holy place of Apkara that they finally met. When Sri Janapa saw the Vrindavan Vaishnavas approaching, she asked Sri Parameshwar Das their names. Sri Parameshwar Das pointed out Sri Gopal Bhatta, Sri Bhargava, Lokanath, Krishna Das Brahmachari, Krishna Pandit, Madhu Pandit, and Sri Jiva. She got met by all the leaders. He told not only their names, but the designation of each. The Goswamis bowed at the feet of Janapa, and a very transcendental of the Vaishnavas of Mathura ensued. Sri Parameshwari induced the disciples of Sri Acharya to the Goswami. He introduced Sri Govinda, the devout Vaishnav son of Chiranjeeva Sen of Kanda and brother of Ramachandra Khan, Kaviraj, to the Vrindavan Vaishnav Goswami. Sri Gopal Bhatta and other gladly embraced them, and they also were pleased to meet Bhagavan Kaviraj and other devotees. Then they took Sri Ishwari and her followers to the place of Akrura and the temple of Sri Gopinath. Sri Jiva told Janapa Ishwari that the place of Akura was very lonely, and therefore Mahaprabhu would often come here to avoid the crowd and peacefully beg alms. Sri Ishvari sighed deeply and wept as she knelt before the holy place and paid her respects. From there she entered Vrindavan. That's like in between Vrindavan and Mathura. And when Akura was taking Krishna and Balaram, he stopped there. And that's where he saw them manifest Vishnu and Anantashesha and all the everything in the water. Sri Jiva had already selected a beautiful house for her, and he took her there with her followers. After their worship of Sri Govinda, Gopinath, and Madan Mohan, the Vaishnavas came to visit Sri Ishvari in her house. The residents of Vrindavan also came in a huge crowd to meet her. While she spoke privately with Gopal Bhatta, Gopinath, and others, Sri Jiva waited patiently to meet her. When she expressed her desire to visit the temples of Vrindavan, they gladly took her to Sri Govinda, Sri Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Sri Radha Vinod, and Radha Raman, and Sri Radha Damodar. Those are the main temples. Govinda is Rupa Goswami. Madan Mohan is Sanatan Goswami. Radha Vinod is Lokanath. Yeah. Radha Raman is Gopal Bhatta, and Radha Damodar is Jiva. She was enchanted by the beauty of the deities and offered them many ornaments and new dresses which she had brought from Goda. That was stuff that the father of Narottam gave her to bring to the deities, gave her lots of nice things. When Sri Ishvari and her followers returned to her house, she requested them to take rest. They all began to discuss the many incidents which had occurred during their travels, and they described the grand festival of Khetri to Sri Madhvacharya, Lokanath, and others who were all happy to hear it. When Sri Parameshwari Das requested the Goswamis to listen to the verses composed by Sri Govinda, they all gladly accepted the proposal, but were overwhelmed with the sweet and wonderful music composed and sung by Sri Govinda. Their appreciation of his music was so great that they unanimously offered him the title of Kaviraj because of his creative ability. They predicted that he would be famous throughout the world as Govinda Kaviraj, and Sri Ishvari was very satisfied. This is Radhakun. Sri Das Goswami lived at Radhakun when Sri Ishvari arrived in Vrindavan, and although he wanted to meet her, he did not have the strength to walk to Vrindavan. Since the disappearance of Rupa, Das Goswami had given up eating and drinking water and was thus emaciated and weak. He passed his days miserably, hoping only to leave this world. Krishnadas Kaviraj wanted the Vrindavan Goswamis to meet Das Goswami, and therefore Gopal and Raghava Pandit went from Nandeshwara in Govardhan to meet Sri Ishvari about the condition of Das Goswami. This must be Raghunath Das. When Janava Ishvari was sorry to hear his condition and told Gopal Bhatta and others that the next morning he would visit Radhakun, the Goswamis advised her to return early after her visit to Radhakun. She should also rest and visit the various forests of Vrindavan. The next morning, Ishvari and the Goswamis started for Radhakun through the Bahula forest. She was enchanted by the beauty of Radhakun, but in her mind, the desire to meet Sri Das Goswami was foremost. And that's quite a far distance to walk from Vrindavan to Radhakun. Sri Das Goswami had lived in a lonely place and engaged himself in continuously chanting the holy name. Krishnadas Goswami went in advance to meet Das Goswami and interrupted his kirtan to tell him that Sri Ishvari was on her way. With an emotional surge, he jumped up and went to receive Sri Janava. Janava saw that although his body was emaciated, he was as effulgent as the sun. and she began to cry spontaneously. Das Goswami bowed at her feet and then met Sri Madhavacharya and Janava's other associates. They all wept uncontrollably. The Brajabasis of Arit village were happy to meet Sri Ishwari. She stayed at Radhakund for 3 or 4 days, and every day she cooked various items and offered them to Krishna and happily distributed the food to all the Brajabasis of the area. That's a lot of people. She cooked big time. And she was respected, even the Jiva Goswami, and they all came to pay obeisances to her. But she just still wanted to be the mother of everyone. So she would personally cook. This is many, many times you find that. And not only cook, but she would serve everybody. Then she would eat. A miracle seen by Sri Ishwari at Radhakund. One day at noon, she heard the sound of a flute on the bank of the Kund, and she restlessly looked in all directions. Suddenly she saw Sri Shamala Sham standing beneath the Kadamba tree in a pose so beautiful that Kandarpa himself would be attracted. Sham was smiling and playing his flute while Sri Radha, Sri Lalita, and other confidants stood around. Unfortunately, Sri Ishwari got only a brief vision of Radha and Shamsundar because she fainted on the ground in emotional ecstasy. She regained her senses but not discussed this incident with anyone. The place where she stayed, she must have gone, is there in Radhakund. There's a little next to the temple of not Govinda, another one of the Gopinaths maybe. And it's right on the bank of Radhakund, and they made a special place for her, a stairway going down, and so she could have a private bath in Radhakund. It's a little stairway that goes down, and from there you can see all the way across. It's exactly where the sun rises. She informed Das Goswami that she wanted to visit Govardhan and other holy places. And the old Vaishnava bowed at her feet and gave his humble permission for her to begin her journey. First, Janava and her followers went to Govardhan from Radhakund. They saw Govardhan, Manasaganga, Nandagram, and other holy places. Janava, Madhvacharya, and the other Vaishnavas became so overwhelmed by visiting holy places that they lost their composure. Sri Jiva pacified them all, and after some time they returned to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, they first visited the temple of Sri Govinda, Radha Vinod, and Sri Radha Raman, and then they returned to their houses. From time to time, Sri Ishwari cooked for Sri Govinda, or sometimes for Sri Gopinath. Sometimes she cooked for Madame Mohan, and other times for Radha Damodar, Sri Radha Raman, and Sri Radha Vinod. She also distributed prasad to the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan. Sri Ishwari roams in the forest of Vrindavan. Sri Ishwari wanted to hear Sri Jiva read his book, Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and for her pleasure she read it. After a few days she began to visit the forest of Vrindavan. She visited Madhutala, Kamuda, Bahula, Kamyavan, Kadara, Badra, Bandara, Sri, Lota, Kanana, Mahavan, and other parts of Vrindavan. Cherishing a secret hope, Sri Ishwari went to the side of Govardhan and she wandered through the lonely places. She remembered Krishna and Balaram and their springtime pastimes with the gopis. When she reached Varshana, Vihara, she lost control of her emotions. Suddenly she saw the Vanasta Ras and the pastimes of the two brothers and the gopis. Both Rohini Nandan and Yasoda Nandan were playing with Faga. That's the colors. Throwing colors. With the gopis, but as soon as Sri Ishwari saw them, she fainted out of ecstasy. When she regained her senses, she did not tell anyone about her vision. It was their own private joy to observe her dearest husband in his pastime at Ramgarh. When she absorbed her mind in thoughts of the Ras Lila of Balaram, she suddenly visualized that Ras Vilas and actually saw Sri Ram sporting with the gopis. When she saw their sweet singing and dancing, Sri Ishwari's emotions took control and she again fainted on the ground. When she regained her senses, she searched everywhere for her load, but she did not speak to anyone. She must have told someone later. From Ramgarh, she and her followers entered a village on the bank of the Jamuna. Within that village lived a simple-minded Brahmana who had obtained a son in his very old life. Unfortunately, the boy had died in early childhood and his parents lamented bitterly. Janava Ishwari could not tolerate their continuous crying and her heart softened in kindness toward them. She wanted to touch the dead child, but the Brahmin's wife forbid her. Janava told the mother that since they were Brajvasis, she would be purified by touching the child, even though it was dead. Wow. Even Janava thought that by touching a Brajvasi, she would get purified. When Janava caressed the head of the child, the dead child, with her hand, he at once regained his life and looked around. The child bowed at the feet of Sri Ishwari and then stood up. The parents of the child and other villagers were astonished by the miracle and they bowed at the feet of Sri Janava Ishwari, thanking her in various ways. Janava assured them that she had nothing to do with the miracle, but that Krishna himself had restored the boy's life because of the grief of the parents. Sri Janava displayed this same kindness at various times and places, and ultimately she and her followers returned to Vrindavan. Sri Ishwari receives an order from Radha Gopina. Remembering the order of Prabhu in Kardaha, Sri Ishwari decided to return to Goda without delay. In preparation for her departure, she went to the temple of Sri Gopinath, but seeing her darshan, during her darshan, she thought that Sri Radha would be more beautiful if she were a little taller. The thought passed her mind, but she did not speak it. She observed the Shana Artik and then returned to her house and fell asleep. In her dream that night, Gopinath appeared and told Sri Janava that because Sri Radhika was not the same size as himself, he felt it looked odd. He ordered her to arrange for a new deity of Sri Radha when she returned to Goda. The new deity would be placed on his left side. In the dream, Sri Radhika appeared with Gopinath and assured Janava that it was also her wish that a new deity be made and that Janava would feel no hesitation in carrying the Lord's order. Then Radha and Gopinath disappeared and Sri Ishwari awoke. She was very happy when she remembered her dream, and in the morning she called for Nayana, a sculptor, to build a new deity of Radhika. Nayana at once understood the order of Ishwari and began to design a new deity. Sri Ishwari kept these activities and did not discuss them with anyone. What?
It's all right.
It's okay.
Just 1 minute. It doesn't make any difference. It just interferes.
Sorry.
Hare Krishna. Then she reached... Next. Plans to return to Goda. The Goswamis fixed a date for Sri Ishwari's return to Goda, Mandir, and Vaishnavas from all areas gathered to bid her farewell. Sri Janava wept continuously during her final darshan of Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Radha Vinod, Radha Damodar, and Radha Raman. She also visited the temples of Gopishwar, Vrinda Devi, and others in different parts of Vrindavan. She visited the tomb of Raghunath Bhat, Pandit Kashishwar, Sri Sanatana Rupa, where she cried sadly. She also visited the tomb of Goridas Pandit. No one knew what vision she had there, but suddenly she spoke something confidential to Baro Gangadas, and thereafter she was able to control her emotions. These Samadhi tombs are very powerful places to get the mercy of. It was interesting, I went to one lecture on Kabbalah, and the guy was talking about going to the tombs of the great saints and getting their mercy. I was going to Vrindavan right after that, so I tried to take advantage. Because they're present there, just totally absorbed in the, you know, pure devotion to Krishna, so that it's very powerful to get the mercy. We have Prabhupada's two samadhis. Sri Janava's mother was Bhadravati, who was the wife of Suryadas. Gangadas was the son of her elder sister. He was a devout disciple of Gauridas Pandit. The worldly disappearance of Gauridas was followed by the disappearance of his foremost disciple. At that time, Gangadas got the order from Gangadas Pandit in a dream that he should go at once to Vrindavan. Gangadas went immediately and took shelter of Sri Dear Samira, where his guru had lived. Gangadas engaged sincerely in the worship of Gauridas in that holy place. Gangadas then eagerly came forward to meet Janava Devi when she arrived in Vrindavan, and when Janava was leaving, she received deities of Radha and Krishna as a gift, and she left them in the care of Bharu Gangadas. She showed much favor toward Gangadas and assured him that he could go with her. The Goswamis were all disappointed when they learned that Sri Ishwari would leave for Goda the following morning. Sri Govinda Kaviraj and his friends met Gopal Bhatta, who embraced them affectionately. Lokanath Goswami affectionately embraced Sri Govinda Kaviraj in different ways and also sent a message to Narottam, encouraging him to worship and serve Sri Vigraha very carefully. While employing all his strength, Lokanath is the guru of Narottam. Lokanath advised Narottam to observe the auspicious days associated with Vishnu and Vaishnavas and to remain continuously absorbed in devotion and prayer with Ramchandra Kaviraj. He also requested Govinda to report to Srinivas all the incidents which had occurred during Janava's visit. Sri Jiva also affectionately met Govinda Kaviraj and requested to take news to Srinivas. Sri Jiva ordered to send his book Gitamrita and other new books which he might write and return to Sri Jiva would send letters. Gopal Bhatta gave Govinda the book Vrindavali, which he had written in a dream according to the order of Sri Rupa. Krishnadas Kaviraj, Bhagavan Kaviraj and others all affectionately embraced Govinda and passed the day rather sadly. In the morning they all met Sri Janava Ishwari and lamented duly at the time of separation. Sri Ishwari started for Goda, surrounded by many great Bhagwats. When they reached the place of Akrura, she forbade them to come any further and asked them to all return to their Vrindavan. With tears in their eyes, Sri Bhatta Goswami and others bid her farewell. Sri Jiva Goswami and some of his associates refused to leave her and accompanied her as far as Mathura, where they rested for that day. One more term. This is Ketari, so they skipped the trip back. They didn't mention much, but from Vrindavan to Ketari is very far. Ketari is like on the Bangladesh border of Bengal. At last, Sri Ishwari bid farewell to Jiva in Mathura and started for Gaur Mandala. Sometimes later, she reached Goda and went straight to Keturi. Ramchandra, Narottam, and others happily came forward to receive her. They prostrated themselves on the ground before Sri Ishwari and also bowed to the other Mahantas. Sri Santosh Dutt and others bowed at the feet of Ramchandra and Narottam, as did Sri Govinda Kaviraj. Surrounded by the Bhagavats, Sri Ishwari entered Keturi. They first visited the courtyard of Gauranga Mandir, and by observing the beautiful deity of Mahaprabhu, their hearts were pacified. Then each devotee went to the particular house with which they had been arranged for him by Narottam. Sri Santosh Roy had arranged for all necessary items, and they appointed numerous servants to come for visiting Vaishnavas. Sri Thakur Mahashaya and Ramchandra requested the guests to complete their baths and personal duties because Santosh had a plan for them. Sri Ishvari and the Mahantas completed their baths and felt refreshed. Then Santosh offered new clothes, which had been freshly washed and dried, to each Mahanta. Each devotee gladly accepted the new clothes and thereafter decorated their body with tilak in 8 places. Sri Janava Ishwari took her bath in a private place, and the Brahmana maidservant of Sri Ishwari brought her a new dress from Santosh. Sri Santosh Dutt felt very fortunate because Sri Ishwari had accepted the new cloth from him. Narottam and Ramchandra then came to Ishwari's place to accompany her to the temple of Shyam Roy. Balu Gangadas completed his service to Shyam Roy and went forward to meet Sri Ishwari. Sri Ishwari observed the beauty of Shyam Roy for a long time and then returned to her own house with Narottam and Ramchandra. The priest of the temple of Mahaprabhu brought many types of Mahaprasad for them, and Sri Ishwari first fed the Mahantas and then ate something herself. Ja, Sri Bhakti Ratnakara ki.
Ja.
Vaishnav Sangha ki.
Ja.
Televi Bhakti Vrinda ki.